Shalom, shalom, damn it. Oh my God, I'm so happy, I'm so excited to welcome to the Dave's Gone By radio program Mr. Mike Burstyn, and I am bursting with joy to talk to this man because he has been in show business and Jewish show business for 50 years, just like his wonderful parents were. They were in the Yiddish theater. I want to hear all about it. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you.
Oh, it's good. It's good. So right now you are doing, or will be doing, a Yiddish-oriented program off-Broadway. Please tell us about this.
Well, it's called On Second Avenue, and we had a wonderful short run several months ago at the Volksbühne. And it was so well received, it was sold out, so we are reviving it, restaging it, the same successful show, for 9 weeks, a limited run again, and we open on October 22nd at the Manhattan JCC, which is on Amsterdam Avenue and 76th Street, a wonderful, beautiful building, and we will be performing this wonderful review. It's a musical about the great Yiddish theater, starting in its origins back in a little wine cellar in Iași, Romania, in the 19th century, and going all the way up to the 1950s in New York on Second Avenue. And that's where I was born and I grew up. And it's all about the wonderful music of Second Avenue, the stories, the plays, and the great stars.
Remind people who these wonderful people were. Who were some of the stars?
Well, of course, my parents were two of the great stars of the Yiddish theater. My father, Pesach Geburstein. My mother, Lillian Lux, who unfortunately I lost this just past June.
Sorry,
the great stars like Molly Picon and Menashe Skolnick and Maury Schwartz and Aaron Lebedoff and Jenny Goldstein and Moshe Oysher, and I could go on and on and on.
Well,
and the music, the wonderful music and all the great songs.
Do you have memories of these people when you were young, working with them, talking with them, spilling a little bit?
Yes, of course. I was a child, and I was like I was the baby of all these people. We were like a family. Everybody lived on Second Avenue and worked on Second Avenue. And so we used to meet constantly, and they adopted me. I was like their baby. And I grew up there. We had the Hebrew Actors Union, which was the first actors union in America. And people used to gather every day at the club and play rummy and pinochle and just socialize. It was a wonderful era. And all these people, unfortunately, are gone. And so this is an opportunity to immortalize them so that they won't be forgotten. And the great Yiddish language will be heard the way it should be heard, because people are, you know, learning Yiddish now in schools again. But we don't want it to be lost as a spoken language, and this is what's so important about our show.
Isn't it true that the Orthodox, the Chabadniks, and they're actually speaking to each other in Yiddish? It's become a new language for them again. They don't do the Hebrew; they do the Yiddish.
Unfortunately, the Hasidim who speak Yiddish as a daily street language, they are lost to the Yiddish culture and the Yiddish literature. Because they only speak it so as not to lechalel et sfat hakodesh. They don't want to, you know, speak Hebrew in the street. They retain Hebrew for prayer. And so you can hear children and young people in the streets of Brooklyn or Mea Shearim. They will speak Yiddish, but only as a street language. And unfortunately, the great Yiddish culture and the great Yiddish literature is lost to them, so they don't read Yiddish books, of course. And that's what's important, that we maintain that tradition. And, of course, this is something that the Orthodox can come to as well, because we do not work on Shabbos. So, the Volksbühne has been in existence for over 90 years. It's the only Yiddish theater left in America, and it's very important to keep it going and support it.
Well, we almost lost it there a couple of years ago. It seemed to be going downhill. It had no money, and then there was like a change in management there, and now it seems to be on the rebound a bit.
Yes, well, young people took it over. Unfortunately, the lady who ran it for so many years passed away, and now Zalman Lutik took it over and is running it very successfully. But it's also thanks to the kind of shows that the Volksbühne is now producing for young people as well. They have a show for children even in Yiddish. And partnering with me in this case, I haven't done a Yiddish show in New York for many, many years, and I was looking forward to doing something. And so we got wonderful reviews, and it's a chance for me to, like, it's like going home for me, because that's where I grew up, and it's not just a show for me. It's more personal, especially now that I just lost my mother. We're going to, I'll be dedicating my performance to her.
Well, tell us a bit more about growing up with your parents in the Yiddish theater. You were, as they say, born kind of in a trunk, a kosher trunk.
But
yeah. So give some stories and some anecdotes about the good things about being part of a theatrical family and community, but also perhaps the not-so-good things. I know your sister, in that documentary they did, the comedian, she wanted to get out of that.
Yeah, well, I recommend to everyone who's listening to us, there are two things that they can do. One is to visit my website, and there is so much information there about my career and the Yiddish theater as well, and that's simply my name, MikeBurstyn.com. But also the documentary you mentioned is a wonderful document. It was 4 years in the making, and it won the Israeli Oscar. And it tells the story of my father, how he started out as a young man, ran away from home at the age of 14 to become a Yiddish actor. And then he came to America, met my mother, and then my sister and I were born and joined the Yiddish theater. And so it is available now on video and DVD. It can be rented because it's really wonderful, fulfilling, and very, you learn a lot about the Yiddish theater in general. But growing up in the Yiddish theater as a child, you know, we traveled all over the world because Yiddish was slowly disappearing in the United States. You know, second generation American young people didn't want to speak Yiddish. They were ashamed of their parents. And so my parents had to start traveling and following the audiences wherever they were. We started traveling to South America, to South Africa, to France, Canada, eventually moving to Israel, which is where the Yiddish theater flourished, and we performed for many, many years in Yiddish until I switched to the Hebrew stage and Hebrew theater and film and television. But growing up as a child, that was the best school I could have had, because in the Yiddish theater you had to learn how to do everything. You had to learn to sing and dance and act and even move the scenery around, you know, and pull the curtain and conduct the orchestra. So there was nothing better than the schooling that I got in the Yiddish theater. There were some negative things that, unfortunately, when we traveled, you don't have your own room, you don't have, you know, your friends. We went to different schools all over the world. But it was also something that gave me a wonderful outlook on life. I feel at home in many, many different countries. I'm like a citizen of the world. I speak 8 languages. So I don't see it as anything more than a learning experience. And it contributed to who I am today and to my career. Hi, this is Mike Burstyn, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Was it a natural transition, or did you make a very specific decision to go into more popular mass entertainment that wasn't necessarily Jewish-oriented? Did you encounter not so much anti-Semitism, perhaps, but some resistance from saying, oh, he's just a Yiddish theater person, he's not meant to do Broadway?
No, not at all, because first of all, I switched to the Hebrew theater, the Israeli theater, after I went from Yiddish to the Hebrew stage, Hebrew movies, television, my films, Kuni Lemel, won Israeli Oscars. And from there, I was brought to Holland for several years, where I had my own television show in Dutch in Holland. And eventually from there, I was asked to come back to the States in 1981 and take over a Broadway show called Barnum, which was very successful. And Barnum was as non-Jewish as you could get. But it wasn't any conscious, effort on my part to get away from Yiddish. On the contrary, I keep going back all the time to Israel as often as I can. I do some Yiddish shows in Israel. I am doing it right now. I'm doing a television series in Israel, which is a very successful Israeli TV series in Hebrew, obviously, called Elvis. It's a soap opera, and it's continuing every week in Israel now. So that's an ongoing series there. So I've had a very varied career. When I perform in South America, I perform in Spanish. If I perform in France, like last year, I performed in Paris. I perform in French. It depends on the venue and the country as to what type of performance I will give. And I have to thank the Yiddish, my background in the Yiddish theater for that I'm able to perform anywhere in the world today.
Is the performance style the same for when you're doing a Yiddish play, an old-fashioned kind of a Yiddish-Jewish play, that it would be in a Broadway show like Ink Broadway Grand or Tale of the Allergist's Wife? Do you modify the way you work?
Of course, it depends. It doesn't depend on the language. It depends on what type of show I'm doing. It has nothing to do with the language. If it's a musical, it'll be the same on Ain't Broadway Grand or on Second Avenue. It's just the material is different. But my performance, I adapt my performance to the needs of the show, of the director, of the material. Depending on the material, that's how I will interpret it.
This makes sense. This is very wise. You have a good seichel on your shoulders. I am talking to Mike Burstyn, who is in the Off-Broadway Revue, the lovely On Second Avenue, with all the history and the lore and the music of the Yiddish theater. But I want you to tell me, Mr. Burstyn, about some of the American famous stars and people that you have worked with also. Any good stories, any good celebrity friends, celebrity dish? Tell me.
Well, I've been very lucky throughout my life to have worked with the great stars, both Jewish and non-Jewish. I mean, I worked obviously with my parents. That was the first two great stars that I worked with. I worked with Maury Schwartz as a young man, and I learned a lot from him. And then throughout the years, I've worked with some great performers, very famous and great actors in Israel, many of them who are very famous in Israel, but I don't think that they would be well-known here. I've worked with Danny Kaye when he came to Israel after the Six-Day War.
Well, let's talk a little about Danny Kaye, because I've only heard, unfortunately, very bad things about him. Is that true, or there's some good things to balance out some of the things about when he was?
You don't want to speak badly of the dead, so it's not something that I'd like to lashon hara. But he was a troubled man personally. He was a great talent. I admired him greatly, and we spent a month together right after the Six-Day War. He came to Israel, and I accompanied him in my duties in the army. But he was a troubled person, he was I don't think he was a very happy man, but a great talent. I've worked with Jason Robards Jr. Cool. In a film in Israel. I've worked with Chita Rivera, was a guest in my show in Holland, Ben Vereen, some wonderful people that I've had the great fortune to work with, and also European performers who are really not well known in the United States. I just did a tour recently with Valerie Harper. We did The Tale of the Allergist's Wife. Wonderful lady who is now touring with Golda, by the way. She's performing.
That's a good play.
Road Company of Golda. So I've had a good fortune to work with some very, very talented people.
Now, because you are, as it were, because a lot of actors and performers are itinerant, is it difficult for you to cultivate a home life, a family life, and do what you do?
No, not at all. I've been doing this since I was 7 years old, and so we always had the family and the business together, and so it's not something new to me. I have, I've raised two wonderful sons, and we have a lovely home, my wife and I, and when we need to travel, we travel, and we take our home with us. It's part of the, it comes with the territory.
Are your sons in the business?
No.
Would you want them to be? Do you warn them against it? Do you say,
No, I don't warn them against it. They're grown men, and they each have their own professions, and they do, you know, what they want to do. It won't help what I want them to do.
Would it be even conceivable for you, considering the fact that this is all you've ever known, to do something else? If you weren't a performer, if you weren't an actor, what do you think you could have possibly been?
Oh, well, I do other things as well. I have my hobbies, but at one point when I was a young man, I was considering the law profession. I was considering aeronautical engineering, but I kind of incorporate those things into my private life now. I have hobbies where I build and fly model airplanes, so that's a little bit of the aeronautical engineer. And I do all my legal work, anything that needs, all my contractual work I do on my own. So that takes care of a little bit of the legal aspect. So I do the more like hobbies, but at one point, if I hadn't continued to be an actor, I may have gone into the legal profession.
Interesting. Well, a Jewish lawyer, how can you beat it?
That's right, can't be better than that.
Let me ask, you're Orthodox, this is true?
No.
Oh, you are not?
No. I can't be Orthodox and be an actor, especially not in Israel, because in Israel we perform 6-7 days a week. And so in our profession, you can't be Orthodox. I'm very traditional, but I can't say that I'm Orthodox, no.
And your parents also, because they were traveling. How could
they? No, we could not be Orthodox. But you don't have to, you know, it has nothing to do with Orthodoxy. As we say in Yiddish, Ayidach in Zayin, in the Neshuma, it's a matter of your conscience and your soul. You don't have to have a beard and payas to be a good Jew.
And you don't have to be Jewish to love levies. It all comes together in that way.
Well, Rabbi, you must excuse me, but I am using a telephone here at the Friars Club in Los Angeles, and they are about to kick me out. So we have to conclude our interview, unfortunately.
Well, it was wonderful talking to you. I'm going to thank you so much and urge everybody to go see On Second Avenue Off Broadway with Mike Burstyn. Thank you so much.
Please, we only run through New Year's Day, and it's a small theater, so I really urge people not to wait because tickets are going very quickly.
Well, you heard it from the man. Go see it now, today. Pick up the phone and go.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Vince.